Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you are once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. As usual, and especially for the first-time listeners, I'm asking that you get your Bibles. Please get your Bibles, get your pens, get your paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the person of Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to bring forth God's word again on tonight. We always open up with prayer, so I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve a risen Savior, our soon-coming King. We serve a God who can hear all of our prayers and answer them at the same time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your risen Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead, and he has redeemed all those that confess him as our personal Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord, and we thank you for his life. We thank you for his suffering, his death, his burial, his risen and resurrection power, and that he's now alive, sitting at your right hand, making intercession for the saints of God on tonight. It's our prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself and my entire family. Also, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every faithful, committed, humble doer of your word, Heavenly Father, dedicated workers of your word all over the land, because you are people that are upbuilding your kingdom here on earth, all over the land. So we just thank you that you are using us individually, and that it's a corporate body of believers in the name of Jesus Christ for such a time as this, that we are being used to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, that others can be saved in his name and come to know and walk and live in, therefore, and fulfill their God purposes in the earth. So now, Lord, we come thanking you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for who and all that you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know that you're worthy to be praised, and there is none like you on all the earth. We thank you that you have all power in heaven and earth in your hands. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus Christ, lifting up all those that are burdened down in the hour of bereavement. We know that you are our comforter, those of us who have lost loved ones, without a doubt, especially for those that are saved in Jesus' name. We know without a doubt that you are our comforter. You are our joy, our peace, our strength, our healer, our everything. So now, Lord, we pray that you would comfort and strengthen the bereaved all over the land. Let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So help them to hold on to your unchanging hands, Heavenly Father, even at this hour, We come also lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies on tonight. Those that are suffering with PTSD, those that have suicidal thoughts, those that are dealing with mental depression, and all others, Heavenly Father, that have illnesses in their and ailments in their bodies. You know who they are as well. So we ask that you would touch, heal, and deliver as only you can, because we know that you are the chief physician who has never lost a patient. So we pray that you would touch, heal, and deliver all over the land, that your people, Heavenly Father, would have a testimony and let others know that it was you who have healed them and set them free, because we know that you're still working miracles even today in the land of the living, in the name of Jesus Christ. So now, Lord, again, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, as sacrifice for mankind. Heavenly Father, we now ask you to help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us as your word goes forth with power on tonight. We pray, Lord, that this word would be so powerful that it would touch the hearts of every listener, and especially for those that are not saved in Jesus' name, that your word would go forth and they would open their own mouth even on tonight and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask to be saved in his name. And once they're saved in his name, by faith, Heavenly Father, they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their God purposes in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Dear Father, before we close this prayer, we want to lift up every listener that faithfully tunes in, that you will continue to bless them and grant them the desires of their hearts. And also, Heavenly Father, that you would use them as your vessels, your ambassadors, your servants in the earth, that they would spread the good news about this ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we ask that you would have your way on tonight, and we pray that your word will be received in love and that you will be glorified even more. In Jesus' name we pray. All those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, everything is your teacher if you are willing to learn. And that is a fact. Spiritual food for thought once again for tonight. Everything is your teacher if you are willing to learn. I am going to get ready to bring forth Dick and Robin Cox very shortly, but I have a special announcement, and this is coming from for those of you that tuned in and watched the Wendy Williams show. I am proud to announce that she has a foundation, the Wendy Williams Hunter Foundation. It's for anyone that is dealing with drug abuse, any type of abuse or drugs. You deal with mental issues. Establishment, she has now set up the Wendy Williams Hunter Foundation for anyone that is seeking help. It is open 24 hours a day, and it's worldwide. So if you are having issues, or you know loved ones that are dealing with issues of dealing with drugs and alcohol or need counseling, they are available 24 hours a day. We thank God for her and this ministry. So we're going to support her in this ministry, and we're going to recommend those that we know that need help. So the number that you can call, if you know of someone that needs help, you can always go through the Hunter Foundation by Wendy Williams. And that number, the phone number is area code 888-548-6873. Again, it's open 24 hours of the day, day and night, for anyone that needs help. If you're dealing with issues beyond your control, where the enemy is using you to use drugs to destroy your mind, body, and everything that you have been anointed by God to do, that he's trying to stop you from doing it because of your addiction. So we thank God for Wendy Williams, the TV host Wendy Williams, and the Hunter Foundation. And also you can go to the website. If you do not have the number, you can always go to the Wendy Williams show under the Hunter Foundation, I think it's .org. And that's my announcement for today. I'm going to go to my music break right now, and I pray that you be blessed by this selection. It's titled, I Can Go to God in Prayer. Aren't you glad that you can go to God in prayer? And it don't take a long time. You can have just a little talk with Jesus, but guess what? He will make it all right, because he said he cares for you, and we can cast all of our cares upon him. What a mighty God we serve on tonight. So I pray that you enjoy this musical selection. I Can Go to God in Prayer by Albertina Walker, the late gospel singer Albertina Walker. And following this music break, before we do the music break, I'm going to ask all the listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants, ambassadors, vessels. Once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase James_Brown 1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And for those of you that may be new listeners on tonight, remember and know that all of these shows are kept in archives. You can always go back, even all the way to 2013, and pull them up and listen to them and be blessed by them as well. So we're going to enjoy this musical selection, once again, titled I Can Go to God in Prayer by the late Albertina Walker. And following this selection, we will come back and we will yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy.
Hey.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I think somebody needed to hear that song tonight. I know I did. I can go to God in prayer. What an awesome God we serve. Stand on his word by faith, knowing that you can go to God in prayer. And he promised in his word, I love his word. He said, no weapon that's formed against you or me who are saved in Jesus' name, no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. Guess what? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's why we thank God for his Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's in him that we live, we move, and have our being. So we thank God for that song on tonight. I pray that it has been a blessing to you as much as it has been a blessing to me on tonight. So right now we're getting ready to bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. He's going to be sharing with us once again another inspirational poem. Then he's going to go directly into God's word. So I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to deliver God's word once again on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. First of all, I'd like to give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to God my Father, and to Brother Brown, to all the listeners, and to all of my Father's children. It's once again a pleasure to come before you to bring forth God's word. As I was saying, this is an awesome responsibility that the Lord has given me in order to bring forth his word. And, you know, I try to live right by his word. Now, tonight, I have two extra special guests who are with me. I have my two great-granddaughters. And I was thinking about, you know, sending them to the back because they might make noise and they might disrupt the program. But I thought about it, and I think that the best place for them would be is in my presence to hear the word of God, because we never know how they might absorb the word, and we should never chase anybody away from the word. Amen. I'd like to go into the poem that the Lord has given me to give unto you. And the name of the poem is, you know, we ask ourselves, because we look at it on many sides, but the question is, how do you measure a Christian? Can you measure a Christian by their success or their health? Or do you measure a Christian by their riches and wealth? Or do you measure a Christian by the money that they give? Or can you measure a Christian from where they work or where they live? Would you measure a Christian by the length of their hair, or say they're a good Christian by the clothes that they wear? Would you measure a Christian by the people they know, they know, or call them a good Christian by the places that they go? Now, these are the things that may set them apart, but I measure a good Christian by the love in their heart. Do they always give and refuse to take, and are willing to admit that they made a mistake? When things get bad and the situation makes a turn for the worse, would a good Christian remind you to keep God first? Will they do their best to help you stay strong? And will they forgive you when you've done them wrong? Regardless of who or what may have caused the situation, does a good Christian leave room in their heart for reconciliation? Through the best of times and during the stormiest of weather, will a good Christian say to you, my friend, let us pray together? You can't measure a Christian by weight or height, by strength nor might, only when they stand up and defend what is right. Now, that's how I measure a good Christian. That's how I measure a Christian. Amen. Now, we're going to go right directly into tonight's lesson, and it's a continuation of the last time the Lord allowed me to bring forth his word unto you. The last time I had the pleasure of your time and in your audience, our topic was no exceptions. And tonight's topic is no exceptions except. Now, we look at this and we say, wait a minute, you know, that sounds like a conflict right there. But see, only man's laws have exceptions. Man would make a law, and then somewhere written in the law, he will allow you to circumvent that law because of a technicality. And that's why a lot of people have broken the law. We look and we see our politicians and we see different people who have broken the law who should be incarcerated, but they're not incarcerated because there is a technicality. But see, I want to narrow this down. There is no exception to God's law. Now, our topic for tonight, as I say, is no exceptions, except, and I'm going to get to the except part later on. But we were coming out of Romans, the 3rd chapter, the 23rd verse, and I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. It said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, if you were to read the words carefully, it says all. This means that every living being on this earth has sinned. It does not matter what position you have in the church, in the synagogue, in the mosque, in the temple, in the kingdom hall, or whatever. There is no exceptions. God's word in Romans 23 says all have sinned. So each one of us, we were born in sin. And, you know, that preacher man, he's working on his building. That rabbi, he's working every day to get himself right with God, because all of us, the Pope, like I said, all those people that are holding a high position in the Lord, God's word says, all have sinned, which goes back to our topic. There are no exceptions. And see, tonight we're going to talk about personal accountability. And by this being the case, it does not matter where you come from. It does not matter who you associate with, as the poem was saying. It does not matter the people you know or whether you're rubbing elbows with this person or that person. You must put yourself into a position where you work out your own soul salvation. I come from a family. My granddad was a preacher. My uncle was a preacher. My son is a preacher. But all of that holiness doesn't mean nothing if I don't work out my own soul salvation. So as I said, we could surround ourselves and be surrounded by people who are truly serving the Lord, but it avails us nothing if we don't take the time out to work out our soul salvation, because all, which sums up means everybody, there's no exception to the rules when it comes down to, and I want to be specific about this, about God's law. Man will make an exception or give you an exemption because it was extenuating circumstances that cause you to violate their law, or we may say, they say that ignorance of the law has no excuse, but some slick lawyer would find some type of an excerpt to get you all free. But since all of us have sinned, that means that we all must come before the judgment seat of God according to what? The deeds that are done in this body. You know, we must each individually must repent for the things that we have done. Now, we're going to go over to, I'm going to give you a few examples, and we're going to go over to first, now Romans 6 and 23, and it lets us know that the wages of sin is death. So this goes to everybody. So, and the Bible bears me out because it said you will reap what you sow. But a continuation of that said verse said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Okay, now, said, there's only one God. There's no exception to that. I don't care what we try or who we try to make our God. There's only one God. There's only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. Okay, so whoever it is sometimes that we try to make our God, there is only one. There's no exception to the rule. Sometimes we bow down to things, and on Sunday we might make our automobile our God. We might make our children our God, but it's only one God and one mediator. God lets us know, he says, that when he descended down, when his spirit descended down after the Lord was baptized, and he told John, he said, this is my son, who I am very well pleased. Hear ye him. So we're trying to find a pathway to God. There's no way that we can see God or that we can be with God by ignoring his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, now we're going to move over to John 3:16, which is a favorite scripture of many. It said, for God so loved the world that he gave his, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Okay, now we're going to break that down to you. There is no exception. Nobody has made the greater sacrifice than God did when he offered up his son to for a ransom, to redeem us. Now, some of us, we may go in our pockets and give other people money, or we may do this, or we may sacrifice some of our time, but who is willing to sacrifice their life for the good of mankind? We may do it for a few people that we know, but no. God's son did it for the whole world. It said he loved the world. So this means everybody in the world and everything in the world. So we have to be careful because of this. There's no exceptions. We got to rely on what it is that the Lord has printed for us, what the Lord has instructed us, what the Lord is telling us through his many, many ambassadors. Okay, now we're going to move over here expeditiously. It says, Jesus answered. This is John 14:6. It says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except. You see what that's saying? There's no other way around it that we could get to that. And that's the only pathway that we have to God. We must travel. We must confide. We must trust in his son. Because going back a few verses, it said that there is only one mediator. And that is the man, Jesus Christ. So, moving right along. Say, believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shall be saved. So whoever is calling on him and believing, and see, it's a lot of times we may call on his name, but do we truly believe what it is that he's saying to us? Do we truly believe that he is the Son of God? There is no exception. We can believe in a whole lot of things, but we must wholeheartedly submit ourselves unto the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Acts 3:16-31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Which also was telling us there is no exception. And I got one or two more verses here before we go to the except, because see, we're talking about the exceptions, but we got to go to the accept part, which gives us a pathway to God, which gives us a pathway to immortality, to be with the Lord forever and ever. And see, these that I just read to you are concerning God's law. Now, we know in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17, God wrote his laws down. He told us the things that it is that we should not do. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. See, there's no exception to that. As I was saying earlier, we must give an accounting. It's all about personal accountability when it comes down to these things, according to the deeds that's done in this body. We must put ourselves into that position. The only way that we can do those things is through repentance. Now, we might not have, or God might not respond instantaneously the way a lot of us want him to respond when someone violates his law or someone does something that is untoward against their brother, when they covet their neighbor's house or his wife or his manservant or a donkey or whatever it is that God told us not to do. So God's law will not be tolerated. Now, we know that we've heard over the past few months concerning man's law about zero tolerance. Now, because we may do something and see man, but see man, but if you look down at the breed, the fine print, and say the program is subject to change. But see, God backs up his word, and there's nothing or no circumstances that can happen that will negate that which God has told us to do. And as I was reading and going through the different things that God told us not to do. Now, one thing, which is the first commandment, would promise that thou honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. So God brought forth a promise behind it if we were to keep that particular commandment. So God will, upon ordinary circumstances, can and will, because he is a merciful God. He will make an exception, but not to his law. His law applies to everybody. We must realize that when we have done something against God, that our only way to rectify the situation, but see, many people, I know you have heard it said on many different occasions that it would throw it again into the sea of forgetfulness to rise against you no more. But these situations, God will take care of personally. So they may not be, I mean, things that you've done, things that we've done that we've repented for down through the years. The opportunity is there, but it hasn't went away, because at the end, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, and Jesus, our mediator, speaks for us, and he tells his father that this brother or this sister say they repented. If you notice, I said they repented, but in the process, they continue to mess. Instead of messing with his neighbor's wife, he started messing with his neighbor's daughter. Say, thou shalt not covet thy anything that is thy neighbor's. Say, depart from me, I never knew you. So we have to be extra, extra careful. Now, I'm going to give you a way out. As I say, the Lord is going to provide a pathway, not to break his law, but a pathway in order to be with him. I'm going to read to you from John, the 3rd chapter, and this is the accept part right there. This is the accept. Remember I said no exceptions, accept. So I'm here to tell you, and I've told you, that there's no exception to any rule breaker that violates God's law. We're all going to be held accountable. But now that we have straightened ourselves out and we're on the road of repentance, and we don't want to get off of that road, and we're doing the things that God has instructed us to do, because we asked for forgiveness and told people that the things that I've done against you, I will do no more. And we're living a good, scholarly, spiritual Christian life. Now I'm going to show you how this accept ye comes. It says, okay, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, now there goes that word right there, except. See, God is making an exception for us. But this is not concerning his law. He said, except. So God is opening up a pathway for us to be with him, for us to live that holy spiritual life. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Okay. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except, once again now, a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. For which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay, now let me give you just a brief history on that right there. Now, I said that sometimes how we do, we come to the Lord by night, because we don't want our neighbors to know that we have submitted ourselves to God, or that we are interested in what it is that he's saying. And so the Lord said, except, except. You'd be born again. You cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, you know, it's kind of hard. You hear different scriptures. You hear, people trying to capture Nicodemus' frame of mind, and, you know, and the way in which he responded. Some people may say that he was curious, but see, Nicodemus was no dummy. Some people may even say by his response that Nicodemus was being sarcastic. You know, when a man is old, can he enter his mother's womb for the second time? So, regardless of what type of skepticism, regardless of what type of sarcasm, Nicodemus addressed him, and he said, only a person that do these miracles, this is a person that can only be sent by God. But as I was saying, Nicodemus was no dummy. Nicodemus knew what it was that was going on. But the Lord told him, unless you be born again. Now, until I come into the Lord and come to the full understanding of what the Lord was telling Nicodemus, I also may have had that same curiosity, that same sarcasm, that same skepticism that Lord Nicodemus had. But hey, how could I possibly be born again? But the Lord told me, which, all right, if you think about it, when we go through our baptism, if you notice that we are submerged in water, we are completely covered in water. And the significance of that is that when we are in our mother's belly, when we are in that amniotic sac, and right before we're born, what do they say is the indication that a birth is going to be imminent? They said the mother's water broke. So that means that we were floating around in a sack of water, that life-giving water. So we must be born again. So we must be baptized. We must of the Spirit. Because the Lord told us that flesh is flesh, but the Spirit is the Spirit. And he said that he will pour out his Spirit upon the waters. So I hope that the picture that I'm painting for you tonight is one that we could very readily understand, because there are some people who will try to take what it is that the Lord say, and they will confuse people. Like Nicodemus confused me before I came into that knowledge of serving a true and a living God. I was a Nicodemus myself, man. How could, you know, when I used to hear born again Christian, that kind of like boggled my mind, because I did not know. But I know that we got to go by the way of the water. Even when someone is in the hospital bed and they sprinkle the holy water upon them, they cannot be submerged in the water. So, except, the Lord said, verily, verily, except ye, which breaks it right down once again to an individual thing. Personal accountability. Individual submission that we all must make. One of the scriptures that I read to you previously is that Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shall be saved. So this is, and there's no exceptions to that. So we must be able to put ourselves in line. Except, now that's the except that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the exception of breaking the law or going against God's most holy ordinance. I'm talking about except ye. Don't you see the way out? Isn't that door opening wider and wider for you? This is all that you have to do. Now, there's another thing that you have to do. And that is God said that unless we come, Matthew 18:3, and he said, truly I said to you, unless or except ye will be converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So except I get rid of or abandon my grown ways, except I abandon the way of the world and how people say, you can't tell me nothing. I'm grown. Well, I got to get rid of that adult attitude and submit myself to the Lord, because a grown person, most of the time, you cannot tell that individual anything. You might say, don't do this or don't do that out of love. And the response, hey, you can't tell me nothing. I'm grown. But see, the thing about that, a child is, we talked about that several months back. See, a child is innocent. A child is receptive. A child is obedient. A child is impressionable. A child has all of these wonderful qualities that will allow them to be taught, that will allow them to sit down and listen to it, you know, because they are like sponges, and they absorb. So we're supposed to absorb God's word and the way in which it becomes beneficial. It feeds our soul. It feeds our mind. It feeds our heart, because we will reject it as an adult, as a child. Even up under sometimes the most horrendous situations, you know, I've seen parents discipline their children when spare the rod, spoil the child was the order of the day. But I've seen parents that were heavy-handed. When it came down to discipline their children, when they, you know, used to use those old three-tail razor straps, when they used to use those belts or whatever method it was that that parent used. But I'm talking about corporal punishment. I'm talking about getting physical. Now, today it's not acceptable for a parent to take off their belt and commence to welding on their kids. Or a long time ago, they used to say, I'm going to give you a good dusting, which because the little boys at that time had a whole lot of dust in their pants, and when they got disciplined, dust would fly all from their pants and look like a dust storm, look like dirt devil had just jumped in there. And lo and behold, 10 to 15 minutes later, that parent could not get rid of that child. That child is clinging to that parent for life and death. Why? Because they knew that it was necessary that they have that discipline. Because, see, discipline, whether we know or not, discipline keeps us from being out of control. Discipline keeps us from doing harmful things and hurtful things to ourselves and to others. So, as I say, the mindset, the attitude of a child, children learn how to do what? Quickly. They can fight 1 minute, the next minute these children are playing once again. But see, now, if you look at me wrong, or if I look at you wrong, let me put it this way, if I look at you wrong, you're going to come and you're going to shoot up my house and firebomb my house. I didn't say a word, but they say, you mean mug me. Where is the forgiveness, road rage, that we have on our freeways and on our streets? Now, don't we know, or shouldn't people know, that that road, everybody's entitled to that road, and if somebody cut you off, then if it didn't cause you to have an accident, but see, we have what I call microwave anger. We heat up in a minute and get hot so fast that we got to let those people know, hey, you don't cut me off. You don't ride my bumper. You don't do that, but going back to accept ye, be converted. This means that a change has have to take place in that particular individual in order for them to do what it is that God has to do as a child. And I say, truly, I say to you, unless except ye will be converted and become like children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Lord told Nicodemus basically the same thing. You must be converted. You must be born again. And see, when you're born again, what? You're fresh. You got wonderful ideas. You feel like you're a world beater. You don't have no, you know, you come out innocent. You come out without malice in your heart. Now, little children, they fight, they disagree. But it's in their nature. It's not with malice to kill or destroy somebody. But grown folks want to take you out, take your family out, take your whole generation out because of a minor disagreement. But the Lord was telling each and every last one of us, as I say, I'm going to use those to accept. Accept ye, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, and accept ye, convert and come as little children. Now, there's two pathways that we can take, but we must take both of them. We can take one door, but we got to go behind door number one and door number two to get to possibly door number three. So those two things, they work in tandem. They work together. They work for the good of all mankind, because there is no exceptions, because all have sinned All of us are sinners, and we come short of the glory of God. But if there's no exceptions to the rules, that, you know, it would be no sense, and God does not lie, it would be no sense for God to set out this type of rule and then sit back and let us violate it and then say, okay, well, you know, you didn't mean it. No, it doesn't work like that. Well, they didn't mean it. No, it don't work like that. But that's why. And the third option is repenting. You must repent, must reconcile, must be born again, must come as a little child, and these things, must forgive. Now, see, these are things that we hold on to or we refuse to do. And I don't know about you, but I refuse to let an attitude that I might have see me or prevent me from being with the Lord. So this is just a little food for thought. Brother Brown said tonight, everything is a teacher. So what type of student are you going to be? Everything is a teacher. Everything that you see is teaching one thing, how to be or how not to be. So I thank God for this opportunity to conclude, no exceptions, except, and see that except is giving each and every last one of us a way out. No exceptions to breaking God's law, to violating his law, because we're going to all be held accountable according to Romans 3:23. But we want to take it to the next step. If we don't want to get confused, because if we're not careful, that demon will try to throw an extra thought into your head. But see, the first one was pertaining to man. There's no exception. He's no respecter of person. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. But the second one, he was telling us, look, I'm giving you an opportunity to come to me through my son. You can't bypass my son. You can't just go straight to the Pope and then come to me. You can't go to that rabbi. You can't go to that preacher. You can't go to that bishop. You got to go through the Lord. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he's following somebody. So him who's he following, I want to follow him also. So may God bless you and may heaven keep you. I hope that this was enlightening to you, because it was, you know, I'm learning also. So I now turn you, and I thank you for the privilege of your time. I now turn you back over to the very capable hands of Brother Brown. Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord on tonight. I pray that someone has been touched by that message on tonight. I know that I was, as always. We want to remember what God's word says. And Deacon Marvin Cox already said it so plainly and clearly. And God's word backs it up. He says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But just as he was saying through the word on tonight, thank God that we have an adversary. We have one that has, we know that the adversary comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But we have the second Adam on our behalf in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. We thank God for him coming down through 42 generations with a purpose, which he did fulfill out of love for God the Father, and then also for you and me, mankind, through the shedding of his blood, that we all can be redeemed if we choose to be redeemed. It's a choice. God do not force himself on anyone. He gives the door is open, but you have to open your own mouth. You have to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to believe in your heart. If you're not saved on tonight, if you hear my voice, if you just heard this message from Deacon Marvin Cox, there's no exception. You cannot be saved any other way than other than through Jesus Christ, God's Son. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So it's through him only that anyone can be saved. So I thank God for those of you that are listening on tonight who are saved in Jesus Christ, our sisters and brothers in Christ. And I pray that you're being continued to be a faithful doer of God's word, and not just hearers only. because we have too much of that. We have too many Christians now. They are hearing God's word, but they're not doing God's word. So that's why we need more street ministry. It is good to know that we can get together and worship and praise God behind the four walls of the church, which is a command from God that we are to do. We are together as believers in Jesus Christ, corporate body believers, corporate believers coming together on one accord in the different things to where we're giving God glory, honor, and praise for who he is. So this is what God has asked us to do, to come together, and we strengthen each other through praise and worship as we come together and give God glory for who he is in our lives and what he's done through his son, Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ did for those that accept him as the personal Lord and Savior, we know that in that day, in the day of judgment, we will be able to hear God say unto us individually, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And we know that our living will not be in vain. So we thank God for this word on tonight. And again, I pray that this word has been received by those that have heard this word on tonight. That's why I thank God for the archives. We can always go back to the archives, even years from now, and pull up this very scripture from tonight, and you can listen to it, and you can share it with other people. So that's why I thank God for this worldwide platform. It's set up that way. And God so foresaw it and ordained it to be so that all shows are kept in archives, even the ministries and shows that are under my direction. All those shows are kept in archives. You go to my website, blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And once you get there, that's when you can click on and you can see my shows and all the different other shows up under my direction. But I do want to stress something here right now before I go off the air. For my first 3 years, for new listeners, my first 3 years, God blessed me to come on the air over this worldwide platform through Kingdom Builders International Ministries under the direction of Prophetess Teresa Phillips Docks and Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters Ministry. So I was up under their direction for the first 3 years of my shows. And so if you want to hear my first show, you go to blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. KBDI, blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. That's what you will hear my first 3 years. And then after that, you can pull the recent years from 2016 all the way up to now up on the blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. So I thank God for this worldwide ministry and what he has done. And it is. Thank God for you, the listeners. Know that I love you. God loves you too. We want to thank God again for Deacon Murray Cox. He always shares inspirational poems with us, and then he always delivers a powerful word to his people, to God's people. So we hope you were blessed by the word on tonight through Deacon Murray Cox. So we're getting ready to close out tonight's show, and I'm asking everyone to please pray with me as we go to God in prayer once again. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, within the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. We know that we are not worthy of them. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom you said he's your beloved Son, and you're well pleased in him. And it's through him and through the shedding of his blood that we can redeem. We thank you for that open door through your Son, Jesus Christ. For anyone that accepts him as your Son by faith, we know that he is the only way to you, and he's the only way that anyone can be saved. So we thank you for your word on tonight. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless each listener. We pray, Lord, that you can continue to grant them the desires of their hearts, and that you will continue to bless them, that they will continue to go out and share this platform and about this worldwide ministry to others so that others can tune in and be blessed by it. Others can be saved by it. Others can be drawn, coming back to the fold through this ministry, and that others that are saved in Jesus' name, that are being doers of your word all over the land, Christians who are faithful to you, Heavenly Father, that we can be built up and strengthened and edified through your word. So we continue to bless your name because we know that you're worthy to be praised. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will be and move by your spirit, and every door that's going to be open in your Son Jesus Christ's name on tomorrow, that you will touch each vessel that's going to bring forth your word, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified individually, and then as a corporate body of believers all over the land. For your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So that's the show for tonight. I pray that you were blessed by it. And once again, we want to thank Deacon Marvin Cox for sharing with us another powerful word and inspiration upon. Until next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that on next Thursday night, I have a special guest coming forth at 8 o'clock, Brother LeVar Jacobs. He was a guest on the Steve Harvey Show and a couple of months ago, and he's going to be my guest this coming Thursday night. LeVar Jacobs is going to be my guest, and he was on the Steve Harvey Show. He helped all women across the board. He's doing a marvelous thing through the help of the Lord. He's dealing with females that deal with cancer. He's purchasing wigs for them and makeup and doing a home care service for them, cutting their grass. I have a lot of employees working for him and with him. I'm being a blessing to the women that are battling cancer. So he's going to be my special guest on next Thursday night. So spread the news about him and tune in and be blessed by him on next Thursday. Until the next time, continue to know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until the next time, good night.
From North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.